You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and today my guest is another of the Republican candidates for governor in Illinois. Just a reminder that the primary date was changed. It's now Tuesday, June 8th for this election year. My guest today is Gary Rabein. He's a businessman, really incredible story of starting work delivering newspapers like a lot of us did and rising up and becoming quite a successful businessman in Illinois. He's a father, grandfather who's established a foundation that gives back to those needing help in our communities. And he also began an organization that mentors young leaders, which is a great way of giving back. Gary, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on our show today.
Hey, Robin, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And are you telling me that you actually interviewed another governor's candidate?
I've interviewed a couple of them, yeah.
Oh, I thought I was exclusive. I thought I'd be the only one.
Sorry.
I'm okay with that, though.
Well, we're getting better as we move along, maybe. But you've got an interesting story to tell, and I want to just ask you to tell that a little bit about your background and why you decided to run for office. I believe this is your first run for office.
This is my first run, Robin. You know what? I've been blessed to, you know, grow up in this great state of Illinois, and you know, my parents that really taught us work ethic first and how to serve others. And from the time I delivered newspapers, about 10 years old, about 13 years old, to eventually, you know, through high school, working for a paving company and my dad's side businesses. I really, really love work. I like working with my hands and working construction. Paving driveways are something I really became passionate about through high school. And then out of high school, really, really focused on wanting to be in that industry and eventually built one of the biggest commercial paving companies in the country. It's a 40-year overnight success story.
And so you're going to bring those skills to the governor's office if elected. What was a tipping point where you decided to make this commitment? I mean, it's a huge commitment to campaign and then potentially serve as governor.
So, Robin, that's a great question. And you know, if I'm just looking at my business experience building my business across the country, there's some pretty cool experiences there that I can share and bring to the table as a leader in government, as a governor. But really what happened was I got very focused on doing, you know, joining and growing organizations that protected freedom and free enterprise, right? Small businesses. When I saw, you know, what government can do to hurt businesses and ruin businesses, I got to be very passionate about that. And about 12 years ago, after growing my business nationally, I was one of the founders in a thing called Job Creators Network. Job Creators Network, it was a handful of us that started it. Today we have about 300,000 members, small businesses that are members of it, and all we do, all we really do, Robin, is we look for bad regulations in our country, mostly federal, that kill small businesses, and or kill business in the United States compared to other countries, and we fight them. We put a spotlight on them and we fight them. And we've had some great success over the last 12 years, and the last granddaddy of all success, Robin, was when Biden put that, when Biden announced that he was going to put the vaccine mandate on small businesses, on private businesses, I was really bothered by that. Something that I would never do to my teammates and never make my teammates take a vaccine if they didn't want to. And that's something that would have been illegal, 3 years ago and back, would have been totally illegal for an employer to do that. But eventually, you know, when Biden says he's going to make us all do that, I realized it was unconstitutional and wrong. And if that mandate went in place, my business would be sued so bad that I'd be out of business within a couple of years by the standards he was creating. So I sued him. I got together with Job Creators Network, the organization I was one of the founders of, and then I found five other CEOs to join me to pay for it and be plaintiffs along with me. And we ended up winning that at the U.S. Supreme Court on January 14th. And so, you know, so my blessings have been not just growing and scaling businesses nationally. We have 13 today and the Rabein Group, but not just growing businesses, but growing organizations to solve problems. And so Job Creators Network was the first one I really was part of starting. And then soon after, 2.5 years later, I met a young man, 18-year-old man, Charlie Kirk, and I helped him grow and scale Turning Point USA. And I think, you know, the good Lord blesses us with lots of great experience when you actually do something crazy like scale a national nonprofit that fights for freedom or free enterprise.
You know, something else we have in common other than our first jobs being delivering newspapers was my dad worked in a factory too on your website. Your dad did as well. And there, I bring this up because with your perspective as a businessman and entrepreneur and leader, I mean, there's a lot of the elite say that, well, no, factories are done. We shouldn't even worry about that. But in our part of the state, as you know, we depended on factories and they're gone and it's really hurt communities. Do you think we can bring factories back to our area and build on, you know, an ability to provide some of those jobs? I know it'll be different than it was back in the 80s, but are factories passe in our economy in Illinois?
Yeah, you know, I'm totally offended by the elitist mentality that factories aren't necessary, that, you know, we can ship that, you know, from overseas. Well, guess what? That's a danger to our country. When we can't manufacture our own stuff, you know, we enter a war someday, and we can't manufacture our own equipment to defend ourselves, right? Good luck buying tanks from China when you're fighting China. So again, I think it's very important that we protect manufacturing in our state and our country. And our state was known, as you may know, in World War II, World War I, World War II, Rockford, Illinois, and the state of Illinois was known as one of the strongholds of our country when it comes to manufacturing. And if any country was going to go to war with us, that Rockford, Illinois, and the Chicago market would have been a major target for them to bomb or destroy because of our strength in manufacturing. Without our strength in manufacturing in Illinois, we wouldn't have been able to win World War I, World War II. So I think that we're crazy when we think it's okay to decimate manufacturing. Manufacturing will change, right? We'll get a little more, more innovation, more technology, and all that. It'll continue to change, but we should, you know, demand to be a stronghold in Illinois in manufacturing instead of the weaklings that we're becoming.
You obviously, as an entrepreneur and somebody who promotes entrepreneurship, I think that's lacking in our state. So these small business jobs, as you know, are less likely to be outsourced if you form a niche. And plus, it's, you know, your own business is part of the American dream. What do we got to do to foster entrepreneurship in Illinois?
So, Robin, what we have to do is this. And again, this is why I'm running. I'm running for a lot of reasons now, because the crime is out of control, and I want to solve that problem. You know, indoctrination in our schools. I want to solve that problem. That's the reason I got involved in Turning Point in the first place. Turning Point USA was indoctrination on our college campuses, right? And then we're in high schools and colleges, and now our grade schools are being indoctrinated. Okay, but my strength is understanding what kills jobs and what ruins entrepreneurship and innovation in any market, a state, a country. And Illinois is the worst now, Robin, when it comes to regulation on small businesses. You look, talk to any national organization like Job Creators Network or NFIB or any national organization when it comes to small businesses, and they'll tell you, Illinois is now number one, maybe number two, some will say, depending on what you're looking at, in as far as worst states when it comes to regulation to smother small businesses. Now, if you talk to J.B. Pritzker, he was kind of proud a month or two ago. There's a report that came out to say that Chicago was the in the top 10 startup technology markets in the country. But if you went further on that, what you would find out was, once those technology companies are profitable, like 60% of them leave. So it's great that we like to start the startup atmosphere, but it doesn't mean much when they don't pay any taxes to our state because they leave once they're profitable. And Robin, I have a perfect test lab because I have 13 companies in Illinois, and I've got seven or eight, and we're trying to do the math right now, seven or eight of these 13 companies should not be in Illinois anymore. Now, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to make sure we stay here, okay? But I got to tell you, if I don't win this fight, we'll either have to leave or just, you know, go out of business eventually as we smother, you know, these businesses. But I've got two companies; they're technology companies, Robin, and these companies, you know, took three, four years to be profitable. And my CEOs of these companies, once they're profitable, say, okay, we got to get out of here. The taxes are going to kill us compared to being in Tennessee or Florida or Texas. So I've got a succinct eye on this, like nobody else in this race. We really need somebody that understands business to be our governor, because as we kill business, we kill jobs. As we kill jobs, more people leave, and more taxes leave.
What do you think on taxes? We've got a flat tax system right now. The governor and his supporters tried to enact a graduated tax system, which was defeated at the polls. Do you think we need to change the structure of our system, or just lower rates, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so here, when we look at our taxes on the whole, we're the highest in the country now. We became the highest. We look at income tax, we're average, right? We're like 25, 26th highest. So we're average. It's one thing that we're kind of average on, okay? Now, if we were average on everything in Illinois when it comes to taxation, when it comes to regulation, we would be the most successful state in the middle of the greatest country in the world. If we're just average in how we treated our taxpayers and our businesses, okay? Okay, so when you look at property tax now, we are now the highest in residential property and the highest on commercial properties in the country. And what does that mean? We also have the lowest depreciation of property values since 2008. We actually are basically, in commercial properties, we're 30, 40% lower in commercial property values today than we were in 2008. Residential, we're almost the same as we were in 2008 now, 14 years later. Okay, that's terrible. And why is it terrible? Because all our politicians know how to do is tax more and regulate more. They don't know how to tighten the belt, right? We have the biggest, most obese government in the country, and with that, freedom goes by the wayside, and so do jobs, and so do values of property.
You're from, of course, the northeastern part of the state, Chicago suburban areas. Our rural economies are struggling. We're losing population even faster, and we're dependent on agriculture. But do you have some thoughts on ways that to promote the economy out here in rural areas?
Yeah. So, Robin, I'm kind of similar. I live in McHenry County, which we're about an hour and a half out of Chicago, but it's farming. It's light manufacturing and farming. All right, we're losing. Any retail is going over the border in Wisconsin. I live 10 minutes from the border of Wisconsin, so much like you, right? We're right on the border. Yep. The states around us are kicking our butts. And so we're losing manufacturing. We're losing retail. People are going over the border to shop for everything now, okay? So it's really ugly. And the legislators in Springfield said, oh, we're going to start subsidizing these outer counties, okay? And some people think, oh, that's a good idea. We're going to subsidize the outer counties. But that's not a good idea, because the counties inside of them are not treated fairly then. So, I mean, we need to calibrate our competitive nature, our taxes, to be similar to the surrounding states and an average state in the country. We can't be three times higher in property tax. We can't have three times the workers' compensation cost of businesses and think that we can survive that. All right, we lost 100,000 people in 2020. We lost 122,000 people last year in 2021. With those 2 years, we lost about $900 million in taxes, okay, income in 2020, and over $1 billion of income last year, okay? So it's not about we need to charge more tax. We need to keep our taxpayers here and grow taxpayers. That's just a common sense thing that we must do.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is Gary Rabine. He's a Republican candidate for governor here in Illinois, and we've been talking about his ideas on job growth and entrepreneurial growth in Illinois. He's perfectly suited to talk about that. He's got a background as a businessman, starting at a very young age and successfully building businesses that I believe are involved in every county in the state. And he's got a very creative TV ad on, folks. Watch for it. I just saw it, and I enjoyed it. It's nice to see creative political ads instead of the usual stuff that they have. I want to switch gears. We've talked a lot about the economy, and this kind of hits on an issue you mentioned earlier, and that's our schools. Do you think our public schools in Illinois are adequately preparing students to compete in the global economy?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're indoctrinating our kids like we've never before. We're worried more about gender and worried more about the color of the kid's skin than we are about really teaching a kid to think, right? How to think. We're telling them what to think instead of teaching them how to think. And you know, in our businesses, I mentor leaders. That's my biggest role the last 15, 20 years has been mentoring leaders to go on and run businesses, whether they're my own or for fun. I've done it more for other people than myself, and it's a blast to do that. But you know what? If you don't understand math, and if you don't understand economics, and if you don't if you have no emotional intelligence and ability to connect with others, you're not going to be successful. And I'm confident that Illinois has been ruining kids when it comes to those things. You know, masking kids up for 2 years or year and a half, 2 years has hurt our kids' emotional intelligence like never before. When we look at, you know, when I look at the kids coming out of high school now, their ability to multiply and subtract and add is so far behind what we expect in business. So we have to reteach, you know, young people these things. And so that bothers me. We're not teaching the simple things that they need to know to survive. Instead, we're teaching them, you know, that they should maybe think they might be a different gender because they're a young girl and she's an athlete. Maybe she should think of a different gender. I mean, it's craziness. Things that we should not be teaching our kids in grade school, they are. The sex education is ridiculous. When I look at the books that are in our kids' libraries now, kindergarten through eighth grade, I've traveled across our state. Any sheriff will tell you, any common sense sheriff will tell you that the sex education books that are in our libraries now, in our kids' libraries, would be considered child porn 3 years ago. And now it's acceptable because the politicians, not the parents, are dictating what goes on in our schools.
Gary, what would be the first thing you do as governor, whether it be executive action or through the legislature, to address these issues in our schools? What's the top priority you would do?
Well, you know what? I would eliminate that book. That book would be in the incinerator of every school. We'd find, you know, we'd rip out those books from those libraries for sure. That's a no-brainer. We would get parents' involvement. This education board that we have today and the superintendent of schools would be removed and fired immediately. We'd want parents' representation in every aspect of leadership in schools, along with administrators, not unions, not politicians. And then we would look at the thing that I think about daily, Robin, is I wouldn't sleep at night. When I think about the crime, the murders, and the human trafficking and the drug trafficking we have coming into our state like no other state in the country, okay, on day one, we would strive to rip up this HB 3653, this crazy, crazy bill that was signed by our governor that's not done doing all the damage yet, because in 2023, right, anybody that's trespassing can't be arrested anymore. You can only get, they can write you a ticket now as police go. The cash bail is going to be eliminated at all levels, which is crazy. Never has worked ever in the history of the world. So I'd go after crime and education, and then I would start evaluating industry by industry regulation that are killing businesses and demand removal of regulations that do nothing but hurt businesses. And then we're going to go after property tax in a big way. They're the highest property tax in the country, Robin. It's not acceptable. It's not taxation when you're triple your neighbors, okay? It's tax theft. And we have to stop stealing from Illinoisans and to know that when you do that, got a lot of work to do when it comes to pension reform, got a lot of work to do when it comes to reduction of the 7,000 units of government we have in Illinois. So there's a lot of work to do, but you have to have a goal. You have to have a moonshot goal. And the moonshot goal is by 2025, I want more people building jobs and businesses in Illinois than ever before, so more job creation here than ever, and I want more people moving back to Illinois than ever before.
We've got a terrible reputation in this state for corruption. I even had some of my relatives in New Jersey kind of look down their nose at us, New Jersey of all places. Have we gone far enough on legislative solutions to corruption? Are there other things you propose we need to do?
So there's many things. My whole thing is that common sense and I cannot be bought. And I've been blessed to build those two national organizations I told you about 6 years ago. I got into the Republican Governors Association to get to know what states I could help these organizations get involved with, and Job Creators Network and Turning Point USA, but also to get my businesses to understand where I want to scale my shops and my businesses across the country. So Republican Governors Association taught me a few things. It taught me that all Republican governors are not really conservative, but it also taught me that there's some really, really good Republican governors that have exactly what I look for in business leaders. They have common sense and they can't be bought. And if they sincerely have those two traits, boy, they can lead. And that's a Ron DeSantis, that's a Kim Reynolds over our neighbor in Iowa. There's about 10 or 12 governors in the country that I respect that I've got to know, and the coolest thing about knowing them is really knowing their advisors. And when you know their advisors, the best economic minds, the best minds in policing, education, the states that have done the greatest turnarounds usually had some amazing people that behind those governors. And those people are usually advisors that you can find and you can partner with. And so that's what I've already done, and I'm going to continue to do that as I win the state over. We're going to find the best minds in the country to solve these problems.
The governor and the state controller, both Democrats, are pointing to the state's fiscal turnaround, that the budget's balanced, we're paying down debt. A lot of these issues have improved. Do you buy that? Is our budget, have we turned the corner, or are there problems ahead?
Robin, they are so full of it; it's crazy. All right, we paid down a little bit of a principal. Okay, like the last I saw was about $500 million, so less than $1 billion, and yet we gained $1.8 billion of unemployment insurance that we didn't pay back from the federal government that we borrowed. Okay, about $1.8 billion, and then we also took the $1 billion out of our rainy day fund for unemployment. So that's really $2.8 billion we added in debt that we didn't have before. And guess what? That's all going on to the back of small businesses in this year and next year. So they had all this money, $16 to $20 billion, you know, directly to the state, and we had about $180 billion that came to Illinoisans, businesses and individuals, that allowed us all to show profit that we paid tax on. So a huge amount, you know, $30-40 billion net of money that came to the state, and yet we still went backwards. Okay, they'll tell you we went forwards, but they're wrong. We paid off very little debt, and then we added a bunch of debt, and we just throw it on the backs of small business, saying, "Okay, we're clean, right? We did great." Well, some of those businesses are gonna leave. It'll be the nail in the coffin of many businesses that can't afford to be here. And many businesses have already been ruined that have left already. So they've done nothing to help small business, nothing to help individuals in our state. Our social services got no stronger. We've been robbing from them for a long time. Our roads and infrastructure, and that's something one of my expertise is really infrastructure. I'm a paving guy. I understand longevity of concrete pavements, asphalt pavements, and pothole mitigation. Something I'm very, very strong at. Our roads are some of the worst in the country now, and so we've done nothing to improve any of that stuff, in my opinion. And we've got a lot of work to do to turn that around.
Before I get to the final question, I just got two more. The amount of gambling in Illinois. I mean, I'm not a prude, but it seems like we really everywhere you go, we got gambling, and it's more to just feed the addiction of government for revenue. And That's kind of my view of it. It seems like it's gone beyond the original intent. Do you share that feeling? Do you think we've got too much, too little, or about the right amount?
I think I think the gambling issue, I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not crazy about it either. I don't think it solves the problem. Well, all we do is we just, it's not like we have gambling as tourist income. Okay, we don't have people coming here. I'm going to Illinois to gamble, right? So what are we doing? We have more Illinoisans losing their hard-earned dollars, less money that they could spend to buy other things, and less taxes in the long run that they're going to be paying, right? Sales tax or whatever. So again, I think it's a wash. I don't think it's a net positive. We're not Vegas. We're not even Atlantic City, right? So when I say this, I believe that, you know, we need to look to gain taxpayers by attracting businesses, entrepreneurs, small and large businesses that want to be here in Illinois. We got the best location in the middle of the greatest country in the world, the best location, the best rail, the best air freight, We've got abundance of fresh water, coal, oil, natural gas, nuclear. We've got so many things going for us, yet we are losing in every respect. And so, in my opinion, we need to gain more taxpayers, more customers, and not think of other ways to tax what's left as we lose, you know, over 100,000 people a year. I mean, we can't continue to tax the people that are here more, and that's all they know how to do.
Final question for Republican gubernatorial candidate Gary Rabin. Give you a chance here to just close, make your closing argument. What's your competitive advantage over your fellow competitors in the Republican primary?
So, you know, it's kind of what we've been talking about, Robin. My competitive advantage is I've built dozens of companies over the last 40 years. I've built my businesses first in Illinois. I understand Illinois inside and out. My businesses survived Illinois, okay? And yet my businesses could go somewhere else, like so many. I get what's going on with this abuse of regulations on top of small businesses. I get the abuse. There's two buckets of theft we have in Illinois. One is the regulatory environment is killing the enterprise value of business, and there's we believe a couple trillion dollars of equity loss in small businesses in Illinois because businesses in Illinois are worth less than if they're in another state. So that should be the opposite. We should be worth more than any state in the middle of the country if you have a business in Illinois. Instead, we're the worst. Okay, so that's a bucket of a couple trillion dollars of theft. You go to the other bucket of property theft. When we look at property taxes being the highest in the country, we have killed the values of real estate, residential and commercial, in our state. There's about a trillion and a half is what we estimate of lost equity in real estate. Okay, so our whole GDP for a year is a couple trillion dollars. So it's as much as double that we've lost in equity because of abuse, and I call it tax theft in Illinois. Okay, so my advantage of anybody else in this race is I've got an eye on how we're killing businesses like nobody else because I'm in the middle of it. I built my businesses nationally, and I've been a part of Republican Governor Association. So as a business leader, I get how business and politics and government interact. And right now, I'm confident nobody in this race has an eye on the stuff like I do.
That's Gary Rabin. He's running for governor of Illinois as a Republican. His website, if you're interested in learning more, is Rabin. That's R-A-B-I-N-E, for governor, F-O-R, for governor, Rabin for governor, which is all one word, .com. Gary, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's heating up and you're really busy, but I appreciate you taking the time to share with our listeners your thoughts on why you should be elected.
It's Rabin time, Robin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Heartland Politics is a production of WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. If you enjoyed this conversation, you can hear more on the Heartland Politics podcast, available at WVIK.org, in the WVIK app, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.